إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, very very dear friend and brother and nephew of mine, we were having a conversation about small children using cell phones, and he used a very nice line. He said, "We are trying to raise a smart child, not a smartphone." So I think that's a nice line to remember. We are trying to raise a smart child, not a smartphone. The issue of raising children, and in all my travels around the world, I see this again and again and again in the homes of people who are, alhamdulillah, good practicing Muslims. Their children are not good practicing Muslims. Their children constantly have to be dragged out of bed for salah. They don't do it willingly. Their children are, if you listen to their conversation, I can guarantee you that if you listen to the entire conversation in the entire day, you will not hear the word Allah even once. I'm talking about regular conversation. You will not hear the word Allah even once. You will obviously not even hear the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even once. Now, these are not bad people. These are not bad people. These are not people who are engaged in anything haram. They're very good people, alhamdulillah, practicing Muslims, but just people who are not conscious of the fact that parenting and upbringing of children is not some kind of automatic breeze that blows from Jannah. It has to be consciously done. And that conscious doing depends 100% on the parents only. If children could bring themselves up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have caused them to come out of the ground like seeds. Allah would not have given parents, and Allah would not have given parents the daraja that He gave them. And the daraja of the parents is not because they are biological predecessors of their children, but because of what they contribute or should contribute in their upbringing. That is the reason for the daraja, for the rank and status of the parents. Not because they happen to, you know, bring forth, or they didn't even bring forth, Allah brought forth the child through them. Now, this comes from, I keep on saying this all the time, children listen with their eyes, they don't listen with their ears. And therefore, what you do is 1,000 times more important than what you say. I don't think there is any practicing Muslim parent who does not tell the child you should pray, or does not tell the child you should go to the masjid. I don't think anybody is there who said, or who will say, don't go to the masjid. This will not happen. But the question is, do you go? Do they see you going? Do you take them with you? I have seen this in many cases. The father will go to the masjid to pray, but he will not bring the child with him. The son will not come with the father to the masjid. Why? Now, if you don't do that, initially, when they are young, you have to bring them. They may not even come willingly, but you bring them. You know, give them some incentive, be nice to them, make it pleasant for them, make the masjid a place which welcomes children, alhamdulillah. And the usual, grouse and excuse, which immediately gets dumped on the imams of the masjid to say that when children come, they are not welcome. That is true, and the children should be welcome, but also children should be taught how to behave. You cannot expect the imam to welcome children who come into the masjid and are like little animals running around and creating all kinds of havoc and pulling things. And obviously, if you do that, then people will not be, it's not only the imam, other people come to the masjid to pray. They didn't come to the masjid to take care of your child, right? It's not a creche, it's not a daycare center. So look after your child. I mean, we have this constantly in our masjid. Alhamdulillah, there are young children who are very well behaved. But they also, once in a while, especially for Jummah, they come and they create so much havoc, it is not funny. And everybody is disturbed, other people are disturbed. They didn't come to the masjid for that. And then if you object, then people say, no, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never objected. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's children didn't behave like your children. Did they behave like your children? So don't make this comparison. So the point is that it is very important to train children right from the beginning to go to the masjid. So alhamdulillah, I am always very happy when I see parents fathers coming with their sons, and inshallah we always make them welcome, but this should be done everywhere. So may bring the children to the masjid. Second thing is, consciously monitor this. If necessary, sit down with a timepiece, with your clock, with a stopwatch, and actually monitor the amount of time the children are exposed to stuff which is not Islamic. Meaning, I don't mean when I say stuff Islamic, I'm not saying it's necessarily haram. It's not the haram stuff. I'm talking about halal, but nothing to do with Islam. For example, how many hours do your children watch games? Whether it's football, whether it's cricket, whether it is football, whether it's cricket, how many hours do your children watch games? How many hours do your children spend watching cartoons? How many hours do your children spend, playing games on computers? Computer gaming is one of the greatest evils that has been invented by mankind. Wallahi, I mean, I tell you, people who do not agree with me don't understand what gaming is. As simple as that. I know what gaming is. I am saying this with from my position, not just the moral angle of it, but also the technical angle of it. Computer gaming is a way of changing the psychology and thinking of people. And I don't think I need to elaborate what kind of change they want to bring about. And we have children playing computer games all the time. As part of my learning this time in my trip, I learned another thing, which is that there is something called YouTubers. Now, YouTubers, they sound like something that grows from the ground, you know. Like tubers are things that grow in swampy, stinky soil from the ground and have large leaves. Now, YouTubers are people who basically they put up cameras anywhere in the house and they videotape their entire life. So, and then they put it on YouTube. And there are people who sit and watch that for hours and hours on end. And as a result of which, obviously, those YouTube channels attract a lot of advertisements, because of which this YouTuber gets millions of dollars, right? So this is now effectively, evidently a career. But his career is based on the fact that you find somebody eating a sandwich so interesting that you want to spend the whole time watching that person eating a sandwich, or I don't know what all, Allah knows best, that happens in this whole YouTube thing. Now, my point is, what kind of psychology, forget the fellow who's doing it, right? He's doing it, he's catering to a bunch of people who are completely devoid of brains. But why do you want you, yourself and your child to be among those people who have no brains and who are just watching this stuff on YouTube? Now, this is the issue. And then I asked one of my little friends, I said, so what did you learn from this? He said, he has nine or seven iPhones, and one day he decided to smash one of them. So he picked up a hammer and smashed the phone. So I said, all right, so, I mean, he smashed the iPhone, so what? What's your learning from that? He said, no, the man says, just do it, don't think. So I said, it's a fantastic life lesson for some person to learn. Just do it, don't think. Is this what you want to teach your children? Just do it, don't think. Do you think this will help them to succeed in life? Do you think this will help them to form, create good families, good relationships? Do you think this will help them to attain Jannah? And if you don't think that, then what are you doing sitting and knowing all this is happening and allowing it to happen? And I'm saying, seriously, we have to look at ourselves and how this modern life, we are allowing it to destroy ourselves, our psychologies, our children. Screen time. Screen addiction is today a recognized illness for which there is therapy, which is constantly looking at the phone. What that does to your spine is something else. The other day, I just sent out a video of this spinologist, the doctor, spinal doctor, who talks about what happens when the head is held at an angle which is bending forward. He says if you bend it forward by 10 degrees, it is like a 22-pound weight on the head. And it completely, it bends and spoils the spine. Now, thought that came into my mind, and somebody asked me this question also. They said, isn't that the same angle that you hold when you are reading a book? Right? Now, maybe, maybe not. But the fact is, I don't think it is so much to do with the angle. It is to do with the amount of time that you do this. The time that we use phones, if you just add up all the minutes and seconds and so on, is far, far, far longer than any time that anybody spends reading books. So that cumulative effect of that, or day after day after day after day after day. I know people, the moment their eyes open, they pick up the phone. The phone is by the side of the bed. As soon as the eye opens, you pick up the phone and you turn it on to see what messages you have over the night. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. You know, I mean, Ajib, there was a sheikh of mine who used to tell us, he coached us, and it's become a part of me, alhamdulillah. He said, make this a habit. As soon as your eyes open, say, ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And he said, if you make this a habit, then when your eyes open in the qabr, when the angels come and they wake you up, you will say, ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. But instead of that, in the qabr also, you will reach for the cell phone, to see if the phone is there or not. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Seriously, 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 people wake up. If you want your children to be children who will be a credit to you, if you want them to be children whose amal will benefit you, because that saleh child who makes dua for you and who has good amal is your sadqatul jariyah. Have some mercy on yourselves. Have some mercy on yourself. If you want that sadqatul jariyah, then do something about it. It's not going to happen if you sit upon and let the child run wild. And I'm not talking about haram. Your children are not doing haram, alhamdulillah, you are not doing haram, but you are just being there. You are not doing anything which is worthwhile, which will help that child in this life or the next life. And believe me, once those habits get ingrained, once your child gets used to the fact that you will go to the masjid and he can sleep in the house, or he can pray in the house, once your child gets used to the idea that he can spend all his life, all his day watching cartoons, once your child knows more the names of cartoon characters and the cartoon tunes, then he knows the names of Sahaba, then he knows the names of the Anbiya, I'll guarantee you, I'm willing to put my own reputation on the line, sit your children down and ask them how many names of Sahaba they know, how many names of the Anbiya they know, do they know the names of the children of Rasulullah, do they know the names of our mothers, his wives, do they, just the names, I'm not talking about, is not even part of the Aqidah, just the names. I guarantee you, I'm willing to put my reputation on the line. I'll guarantee you that your children do not know that, and they know more the names of footballers and cricketers and all kinds of kangaroos and Mickey Mouses. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Seriously, believe me, this doesn't affect me. It's your kids. You are answerable. I'm not answerable for your children. You are answerable for your own children. So please have mercy on yourself. Please have mercy on your children. Inculcate good habits by keeping them with you, bringing them to masajid, talking to them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not ban the name of Allah in your house. Do not ban the name of Rasulullah in your house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Speak the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Speak the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make it an ingrained habit in the children that they read du'as, that they say Bismillah, that they say Alhamdulillah, and all of this. Talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness. Talk about the Akhirah. Talk about the Anbiya. Talk about the Seerah. Talk about the Sahaba. Let them watch good stuff on television. Let them watch good stuff on the internet. Otherwise, disconnect the television, disconnect the internet. Wallah, I mean, at least minimum do that. Great fitna. And the tragedy is that this is something that we are seeing in good homes. I'm not talking about people who are, drinking and dancing. No, these are good people, alhamdulillah. They are good people, the children are good people. The children are good children, but just thoughtless living. Just thoughtless living. Day in and day out, just thoughtless living. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this and to enable us to live in a way that pleases Him and to live thoughtfully and to benefit from all that is available to us and to live a life and to bring up children who will be a source of khair for us when we are gone and not a problem for us when we are in our qubur. Because we did not bring them up properly, believe me, if they do ill, if they do evil, that will come to you in your qubur as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.